This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. New locations in Alexandria and Ashburn, Virginia, and they are taking appointments. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir.
That is the foursome on a football Friday, brought to you by the one and only sportsbook, a Hollywood casino at Charlestown Races. And we're talking about Kyler Murray, the guy that won the Heisman. Originally, most people thought that he was going to play baseball, and he may indeed end up playing baseball, but there's buzz growing that football is his true passion. And should he decide to play football and come out in the NFL draft, you're starting to see mock drafts. And one mock draft has the Redskins taking him at number 15.
God, that would be fascinating.
As a Redskins fan, do you want the Redskins going in that direction and drafting a quarterback who, yes, he won the Heisman, but he stands 5 feet, 9 inches tall and weighs 195 pounds.
But he's special. And that's where I think you throw the measurables out the window when you have somebody with that kind of talent. So I'm willing to roll the dice on it as a fan.
Phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in.
But it doesn't mean you have to draft him. You can draft another quarterback.
You could, but I actually like his package.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the speed is absurd. Yeah.
He's a freak athlete. He's got a hose.
The size would just concern me.
Size concerns me, but it concerned them about Drew Brees. It concerned people about Russell Wilson.
I know. Those
concerned people about Baker Mayfield.
Those are the two. Mayfield's bigger.
Yeah. I mean, he's like 6'1", maybe.
And a better passer.
Okay.
I'm just saying, the size, for me, the size would concern me.
Size doesn't
but
concern
be,
me as much.
But it would be fascinating if that would happen.
It'd be incredible.
To see if he could succeed.
It would be the kind of juice this town needs. And if you're saying, well, Rick, we still have Alex Smith. He's coming back from the broken leg.
No.
I just don't think it's happened. I heard a detail yesterday. Not going to talk about it on the air. I just don't see a scenario where Alex Smith is playing
football
again.
And if you
want
to try to get Skins fans back in the stadium, it sounds...
It's a good way to do it.
It's like the splash type of...
Isn't it?
Dan Snyder.
Okay, well, that would work.
Pick.
That would work.
That's reminiscent of RG3 without having to move up and deal with that draft capital.
I think it has big-time boomer bust potential. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. If you rate
him
that
high... he could be a stud.
Because I heard somebody on radio yesterday say that his skills are like a Patrick Mahomes without the arm.
I've heard he has a very strong arm.
I mean, CBSSports.com has him ranked as the second best quarterback already behind Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah. Right.
They have him at 2, Locke at 3, Daniel Jones out of Duke, and Will Greer out of West Virginia at 5.
Phone number is 800-636-1067.
Right. But Murray certainly makes it a better class.
You can tweet us at Junks Radio. Here are a couple of responses via Twitter at Junks Radio. Papa Bear, yes to Murray, and definitely a new offensive line coordinator. And even possibly new head coach. Well, that's not happening. Michael, it's more than likely we're looking at 7 wins or less with no QB. Saying that, I'd use the pick to strengthen the O-line or on a spot on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Steven says, stay as far away from Murray as possible. Draft defensive players from Clemson. Murray's 5'9", 195. He would get destroyed.
He's the smallest.
No.
He's the smallest quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But although Flutie's smaller.
And then Steven says,
Flutie was smaller. Flutie could play a little bit, too.
Flutie 5'8"? First round.
Flutie could play a little bit.
But would you have drafted Flutie 15 overall? No.
I don't know. Maybe in hindsight.
He wasn't bad in the NFL.
Flutie had his moments.
Okay,
he had his moments, but
he wasn't worth the 15th pick in the draft.
Yeah. Listen,
I think the game has changed a little bit.
You draft the quarterback at the 15th pick? That better be your franchise guy.
I think the game has changed a little bit. You're seeing more of the RPOs.
Yeah.
You're seeing more spread. And I think that a smaller quarterback can flourish better nowadays than they did in the past. Now, when they get hit.
But you have to adapt to them.
That doesn't change.
You have to adapt to them.
You see the struggles that Lamar Jackson had in a big spot when a defense adjusted and made him throw the ball.
But I think
and made him stay in the pocket.
I don't know this for certain, but I think he might be a better passer than Lamar Jackson. That'd be my guess.
Well, In terms of accuracy?
Yeah.
Maybe, but Kyler Murray was thrown against poo defenses.
Okay.
I mean, awful defense.
Okay.
You saw in the national championship, he did kind of struggle for about three quarters throwing the ball.
He had moments too.
He did late in the game. He started to move the chains a little bit, but he struggled there early.
It's a boom or bust pick. It could blow up in my face, but I'm willing to roll a dice.
I'd feel more comfortable with what I believe one of the callers is saying is trading up to get Haskins.
I feel like 15.
What I've seen with Haskins is he's a pocket
passer. I think you have to trade. You don't have to trade into six. You might have to trade in the top
three or four
because other teams are going to be desperate to get up there and get him. So it's not like you're just dealing with the Giants.
I don't think there's as much competition as you think to trade up.
Oh, I think there are
only about four or five teams looking for a new starter.
All you need is one to be desperate to trade up.
It just takes Jacksonville. If Jacksonville trades up to four.
Or Miami. What if Miami wants him?
Yeah.
What if Miami's desperate to get him and land him?
All right. It'll be interesting.
There's some market out there.
Are you willing to roll the dice as a fan? I can tell you this. I have nothing to look forward to next year right now. There's literally no reason to be excited about next year's football team. We have no quarterback. All our weapons.
Same terrible coaching staff.
Are diminished.
Chris Same Thompson, front office.
Yeah.
So would you rather trade up to get Or just stay at 15 and take.
Stay at 15 and take.
So you don't want to waste draft picks and
move
up.
I mean, trading up, fine. If you get a Haskins, I mean, swing, go for it. We have nothing to lose. I truly feel like the Redskins are in a position. They're so bad. It's only getting worse.
Yeah, that's
we have
true.
Nothing to lose. We need some excitement in this town. And I think Murray could be a home run kind of pick.
How about do the bit where you draft Murray at number 15?
Yeah.
And then you use your extra third-round pick, which you just got for Kirk Cousins, and draft another quarterback.
Well, that's the Valdez.
Sure, I know.
That's the Valdez bit. And Valdez was a bit vindicated yesterday when Adam Schefter came out and reported that
the Browns
were seriously considering drafting two quarterbacks at 1 and 4.
Yeah, that's right.
They considered the quarterback's currency.
It's called the Valdez rule.
Keep the one that hits, trade the other one.
Exactly.
But the other one that you trade is not going to have much value. I was mocked.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. This is Matt Valdez.
They didn't do it.
I would say maybe it should be mocked because instead they drafted a Pro Bowl corner.
You were ridiculed.
They drafted Baker,
not by me, ridiculed.
And a Pro Bowl corner and Denzel Ward.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls.
Yeah,
let's go
move.
To, let me see. Let's go to Ken in Stafford. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Ken, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
What's up?
Yeah, I was listening to you, and as far as Kyler Murray goes, I was just thinking back of past first-round offensive draft picks and figured if we can burn a first-round draft pick on a Josh Doctson and get that kind of production that we have over the last couple of years out of him, we might as well roll the dice on an undersized quarterback who's got some juice.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It would be fascinating.
Just think back to 2012, how exciting that year was. And if Robert never gets hurt, who knows where we are today? Who knows? 2012 was magical. Now, it started out slow.
I think you know the answer to that.
What? What do you mean?
If he hadn't gotten hurt. Yeah.
If he hadn't gotten hurt, you know, he might have still been able to do some work.
Yeah, but, you know, we had Charlie Cashley on yesterday or the day before, and he said the league figures it out.
He just wasn't
they
good
do.
Enough.
They do. But he was...
Exposure weaknesses.
They're still doing a lot of the things Robert was doing in 2012. Let's go to Andrew Dumfries. Andrew, what's up?
Morning, Junks. No way in hell, man. We're going to draft a project quarterback when we're this big of a dumpster fire. All we're doing is throwing a quarterback onto a trash pile because there's no way anybody who's not Andrew Luck is going to come in here and have any chance. I'd rather take a safety and inside linebacker, like what the Cowboys have found, a guard.
How many wins?
We got some needs.
How many wins do you think a safety is going to add to your football team? How many wins do you think
as a project quarterback?
What?
Eventually.
We had Alex Smith. He was a Pro Bowl. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the league last year, and we turned him into my left foot.
They were 6-3.
Yeah, they were 6-3 under my
but
left
Alex
foot.
Smith
nobody affects
was,
win losses
he was
more
fine.
Than the quarterback.
AP, Peterson and the defense, he rode them.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, but
Alex
you know
Smith
what?
Alex Smith was okay. He wasn't bad.
Think about it. If Alex Smith doesn't get hurt, they could probably win 9 or 10 games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, I mean, where are you going to put the credit? I mean, AP gets a lot of that. The defense gets – Alex gets some, but Alex wasn't winning games. He wasn't losing them either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
at the end of the day,
you know,
I just can't see Murray coming in.
But this team is
– If you don't have a quarterback, you got nothing.
This team is desperate. I'm not saying you draft Kyler Murray, but I think you have to certainly take a look at one of those quarterbacks, maybe not in the first round, but certainly second or third.
I would rather have a guy who has big-time boom potential versus a guy who's just, he has the build, he has the prototypical arm.
I just don't know if
you're taking a third-round pick on him.
I don't know if it fits with Jay Gruden, and we have somebody who tweeted us, JR, who says, is Jay going to call the Josh Johnson or the Alex Smith offense? Jay didn't fully adapt to Alex's strengths and grew frustrated that Alex wasn't running his offense well while Alex openly lobbied for more college-style plays.
Well,
I don't know if
frankly,
Alex openly lobbied for
frankly,
it.
Frankly, he didn't call plays particularly well for Josh Johnson, in my opinion.
Right.
He treated Josh Johnson like a drop-back quarterback,
so
which is not.
If you take Kyler Murray, like I'd be totally cool if I was in Arizona's situation. Forget about Josh Rosen being on the team, and you have a new head
hot
coach,
shot, college coach,
who's familiar with that type of offense where Kyler Murray flourishes,
right,
and you roll with it versus a guy who has his West Coast offense, kind
of more
same,
of an old schooler.
Yeah, old school offense he's had for years and years, and you bring in somebody like Kyler Murray, I don't know that he's going to love it. That's why RG3 didn't do so well with Jay.
I agree. There's a conflict with the coaching. But I assume Jay's only going to be here for a year. I assume this is it. This is the swan song.
Probably.
Although people seem to be high on O'Donnell. Is that his name? Kevin O'Donnell, the quarterback's coach?
Yeah. O'Connell.
Yeah. People seem to be high on him. Maybe he's an innovative mind.
Is he the next young, up-and-coming coaching superstar?
I don't know. Fact, apparently the Bengals want the quarterback's coach from the Rams.
Yeah, they want silly Zach Taylor.
He looks like he's 15.
That's the trend.
I just know as a Skins fan, and I'm the only one here in the room, I need some excitement. I need a reason to be excited about 2019, and there's no reason.
You're not psyched for Geis?
I don't know. Not that much.
I mean,
not
a guy
yet.
Coming off an ACL, it's a big question.
He had an infection, too.
That's out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. I think Geis could be a really good player.
Yeah, let's hope. I hope so. But we need a lot more than Geis.
Do they need, 55-gallon drums of antibiotics shipped out to Redskins Park?
They might.
What's going on with all the infections?
I don't know.
But do they need amoxicillin? Amoxicillin's butt cheap. You go to the store and get a prescription, it's amoxicillin, they're like, you don't even have to pay.
It's kind of tasty in the liquid form, too.
Amoxicillin,
like it.
It's the pink stuff, right?
Yeah.
It tastes like bubble gum.
But didn't they say Geis had to, now we found out later, that he had to fight infection for 3 weeks?
We did hear that.
It hampered his comeback?
Yeah. Correct.
Hopefully that's
Dr. Andrews needs to clean his tools.
Apparently so.
Nothing as serious as Alex, but
no.
He had the infection too.
Yeah.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Remember, we've got John Feinstein joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll go around the NFL playoffs at 7:45 with the Junkies Blitz.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on a Football Friday. Brought to you by the one and only Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. 3 of the Junkies will be there coming up Sunday, January 20th.
That's right.
Kicking off at 1 o'clock. That would be championship weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be there 1 o'clock at the Sportsbook. Come down. We're going to do a little Q&A, preview the games, play some wagers, have a good time. So you can join us coming up on Sunday the 20th at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. We're going to get back to the NFL playoffs coming up at 7:45. We'll preview all the games, make our picks. But Drab had this story in our notebooks about social media. And all of us use social media to some extent, except Jason. He uses a text machine.
I got the zip line.
He does. He texts
us. His own personal baby
on the Thompson
there.
Creek Windows text machine. Standard message data charges may apply. 1-800-636-1067. I use Facebook sparingly. I use Twitter to pimp the product. Cakes has an Instagram account, which is dead, basically.
Dead. Hmm. It's not dead. I would say it's in limbo.
Inactive.
Yeah.
But he tweets, and I don't even know if you have a Facebook page. Do you have a Facebook page?
I do.
My wife uses Facebook
more than I do.
My wife uses Facebook a lot.
I check in every once in a while, but it's infrequent.
I think EB's on the most platforms. He's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
My Facebook is just private.
Right.
But my Instagram and Twitter, yeah. I'm out there.
I see your Facebook pictures.
It's just for family and friends. I don't have like...
Okay, so that's still technically private?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm very selective in who I accept.
Got you.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
So what's the study say?
The study basically says that, now this is excessive use of social media, and I don't know where they define that, but there were behavioral scientists at Michigan State University. Cakes always questions the source. So this is Michigan State.
All right,
think a respectable university.
Big 10, solid.
Behavioral scientist seems quite vague. I don't know exactly what that means.
Behavioral specialist?
If it's a bunch of psychologists,
all right.
They call them behavioral scientists.
Probably.
And their findings were that about one-third of humans, of course, use social media on the planet. And
on the planet?
On the planet.
So that includes like... people like live in the jungle and they're, I mean, you know,
I guess people were living like in the Amazon and not like Jeff Bezos's Amazon, like the real Amazon are not on social media.
Right. But they believe that
that's pretty big.
Yeah. Excessive internet users, their behavior is on
par
with.
Let me pick my hut.
They say it's on par with drug addicts and compulsive gamblers.
Mm-hmm. You know, do I have a gambling problem?
Well,
yeah,
I've got
I have a gambling problem.
I've got enough addictions.
Right. You don't need any
I don't
more.
Need a third.
Yeah, you're fine.
I've got gambling, I've got vodka, and I don't need Facebook and IG and Twitter.
Yeah.
It's the last thing I need.
They did some sort of test, like a memory game with a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Apparently, psychologists use this trick all the time. It's called the Iowa Gambling Task.
All right.
It's commonly used by psychologists to measure decision-making skills in subjects.
Son of a beach.
And they found that the worst participants... were the social media users. So the more that people use social media, according to this study, the worst decision-making they had in this little card game.
Well, then we're all doomed because social media is not going away. I don't know what to tell you. There might be new platforms of it, but social media is not going away. It's here to stay forever.
I think it just has to have its place. Like, I don't know what the line is. You just can't be on it all
I do
the time.
Worry.
You
have to take fellas, breaks. I do worry about especially my younger daughter.
Yes.
Because she literally is always on it. Always.
Kelsey is. Kelsey's home.
My middle
and she'll come home from work or from school and she'll get her snack, you know, get something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll go on the couch and she'll get right on her phone.
Yeah.
And she'll just sit there and scroll through it, scroll through it. And then all of a sudden you'll look up, it's been an hour and a half. I'm like, hold on a second. When are you doing homework? I will, Dad. No. So I feel like I have to take the phone away from her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I really never do, but I threaten it. But if she goes upstairs, who knows what she's doing? I have no idea if she's doing her homework or not.
Did you see what I think it was a 14.
You know by her grades.
Her grades are fine, but so she does enough to get good grades.
I think it was a 14.
Believe me, she's on it way too much.
14 and 16-year-old sisters whose mom took their phone away. I think this is in Mississippi. Happened like a few days ago. Where she threatened to take their phone away, stabbed her in the back, shot her, killed her.
Because the mom threatened to take her phone away.
And before that, they tried to run her over with a car.
Right. Well, they're just awful.
And she's now
trailer trash.
I saw a story last week where a kid, I don't think successfully killed their parents, but she wanted to go to the Outback.
And now rules just right, JP. Who wouldn't want to
say
no?
And eventually, blooming onion, baby.
I think she stabbed her dad.
Wedge salad.
Said no Outback.
Wow.
By the way, is there a side study that shows the damage done by gambling / playing a game of skill and then consuming social media in between hands? Because that is what I do when I'm at MGM National Harbor.
I think it's just part of being a teenager. It's just
but what a lot of people say is that teenagers aren't going to be able to communicate as well. Like this generation,
I totally see it
all the time. Where
they'll power through it.
I'll walk into Potbelly, and there's a table of teenagers, and they're hanging out, but they're not talking to each other.
Yeah.
They're there together, but they're not really interacting. They're interacting.
I worry about it.
It's how the world is. I don't know what to tell you. Get used to it. It's probably not good, but just how it is.
Yeah.
I think you do need to intercede. I think you need to jump in. And your empty threats taking away the phone, like, I'm not saying that you have to have this rule, but maybe you just say homework done first, then you can get your phone back.
I know, I got to do something.
Well, you know what my daughter does? She uses, and I think it's good, she uses her phone and like FaceTimes with her friends, and they do physics together. They're literally doing
physics. Now, that's an excellent use. That's not social media, but no, she's
being
social.
No, but she's on her phone.
Right.
She's
using technology to help get
like
the homework
every
done.
Day they do like their homework together. Now, they're also having fun, but they're knocking out their homework.
Yeah. By the way, I took physics for, I think, a semester in high school.
Yeah.
So hard.
This guy should not have been in a physics class.
Right.
Way hard.
Right.
Way over my
head. But I can
head.
Remember being...
I'm not endorsing it. I took that... I don't know if I was in your class in physics, but at Roosevelt, we had to do science and tech, and there were hard physics classes. That was a heavy dose of cheating.
Right.
A heavy dose of cheating.
You have to do what you got to do sometimes.
I don't know what we did as teenagers, but you know, today it's standard. You'll see it depicted in movies, Netflix specials, television shows, whatever. The standard teenager is what we all experience, is has their head buried in their phone in the car, or, you know, God forbid, if you let them do that at the dinner table or around the house. That's kind of standard behavior. Mm-hmm. But I can remember when I was a teenager being in the car driving around with my dad one time, and he just grilled me for not talking to him, for just kind of sitting there being a punk.
What were you doing?
I don't know. I think I was like listening to the radio.
Why are you being so sullen and not talking to anybody?
So I don't know what we did to occupy ourselves, but I think it's just part of being a teenager.
We were definitely more active.
We were more active.
Now, we were boys, and E.B.
We were out playing sports.
E.B. Cakes and I grew up within a block of each other, so we used to hang out and play a lot of sports. But kids nowadays, teenagers, they don't really do as much. They're more sitting on the couch.
Well, what they
just
do
on
is
their phone.
They're on their teams because sports is still huge, but they just don't do the stuff around the house.
They don't play pickup stuff around the house.
I mean, think about it. When we were 16, we'd come home from school, and I don't know about you guys, but I would go right to the basketball court.
Yeah.
That's all I would do.
Right. Well, we would do stuff. We'd throw the football around.
Yeah,
we'd
do
whatever
something like
you
that.
Do. Yeah.
These kids aren't doing that.
We'd put together games, or we'd go to the rec center every
now,
day.
Now, the travel sports regiment is a
different.
Lot.
It takes up 4 hours a week.
But that's only a small percentage of kids.
Okay. That's
true. A larger percentage than you might think.
I know what I didn't care about as soon as I got home, studying. That was like way down on my priority
list. I'm saying is when you see studies like this, it concerns me anyway as a parent because I don't think I do enough.
See,
and that's on me. That's on me.
Well, it's so funny. Yesterday, I asked Kelsey like what she's been, you know, what is she doing? She has basically it almost seems like a 6 week break. She doesn't go back to school at NYU till January 27th or 28th.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's how it should be.
So she's had all this free time.
Is she working?
No, she's not working.
Well, I mean,
it's only.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a
she's
job
in New
for
York.
A month.
Yeah. Can you get a job for a month?
Probably not.
I think you can. There's some place will take you for 6 weeks.
I'm not killing her for not working for this month, but I am pressuring her to get that internship, you know, lined up for the summer. Like the next summer is the big internship when you're in business school at NYU. Depending on what she decides to do, that's going to be a big one. She might be in New York for the second year internship because that could set you up for your job once you're done. And she's doing great in school. Her grades were fantastic. But Dylan, for whatever reason, he goes, because I think either me or Jess asked Kelsey what she was doing, and she just kind of downplays it. And then Dylan just jumps in. He goes, oh, she just sleeps till 10. Then she gets on her phone and lays on the bed. Then eventually she goes downstairs to get breakfast. And then eventually she goes... moves to the basement. This is over at her mom's house.
Yeah.
And then she's back on the phone, and then she'll
Why
come
upstairs.
Why is he
narking out his sister?
I mean, she literally does nothing.
He's being a narc.
Well, that's the beauty of
I mean, we went to the gym together.
Being 18, 19 years
over
old.
Over the weekend, but a lot of it is her friends are back in school. A lot of the kids are back in school. It kind of depends on where you go.
Yeah, she's in that little window where she doesn't really have that much to do.
I mean, she went to the Caps game on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm. Does she have good grades? Did she do well?
She had great grades.
Yeah, then you're good.
Give her a pass.
As long as they're doing well in school, it's hard to bitch.
Well, you know what's funny? I don't.
That's what I
remember.
If you're doing poorly in school, then you can get on.
It might be because I had mediocre grades. Now in college, they were slightly better, but it was certainly not outstanding. I had a 3.15, I believe.
And mediocre, because that's mediocre.
Right, right. But in my head,
that's mediocre.
It's almost
my head,
below mediocre.
You'd be distraught.
Did it matter that much? College grades?
No.
No. No, I could argue. No,
you just need
you
nothing.
Should see the way my daughter
just to graduate.
Is about high school grades. And
right.
I get it. She's about to
high school grades
start
now
applying for colleges.
Matter.
She's a junior.
Right.
The pressure's ratcheting up. She stresses about getting even close to a B.
Right.
And I think back well, I would have been overjoyed to get nothing but B's.
Right.
If I got straight B's,
I would have been on cloud nine. Straight B's.
I think Kelsey got a B in 10th grade, like in one quarter.
You get straight B's now, you're going to junior college.
Right.
And for,
different era.
For Quince Orchard, when they had the valedictorian on the program, they didn't just have one valedictorian. It was like 22 or 23 people who straight up had, I guess, perfect grades in all the AP courses throughout all 4 years.
Yeah, they got like 23 people. GPAs or 5.0 right. GPAs.
And I thought Kelsey might be a valedictorian because it's like, she got one B. Mm. Wasn't in that top 23. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I would get so grade shamed these days.
That's why if they're doing well in school, but they're on their phone a little too much, what can you do? Yeah, I think you know, you don't want them to bring it to the dinner table, obviously. We try to have a rule sometimes, you know, where you're driving around, you know, put your phone down, let's talk. But for the most part, when they're hanging out, I mean, yeah. What are you gonna do? They all have like 1,000 friends on Snapchat or 1,000 friends on Instagram. How can a teenager have 1,000 friends? I have no idea.
I know, but they don't talk to them. All they do is this.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Where
because
did
they're
come from?
Taking pictures all the time. Yeah.
Where did this come from?
I don't know.
I mean, what's going on? We got robots for kids.
They document their lives with pictures. Like it's instead of even chat like the
yeah,
they're in the car,
Snapchat
in the car with
away.
Their dad, so you take a picture of you in the car with your dad when you're driving somewhere.
I know it is.
I don't really fully understand Snapchat.
I really haven't looked into it. It's just texting with pictures, Trabby. Essentially.
I got on Instagram this morning. The first thing I see is that AWOD posted a story, and I click on it, and he's doing a selfie while he's driving, and it says, "Too early for this," and it's him with a sad face, like puckered up lips.
You're kidding.
Please tell me he's at least stopped at like a stoplight. He's doing it while he's actually driving.
Oh, shout out to you.
Who are you? Who's looking at your story?
So I should give credit to. There's a podcast Barstool has called Call Her Daddy.
Right.
And all the girls I was hanging out with on New Year's were telling me it's the greatest thing. And these girls are savages talking about hookups and stuff. And one of the episodes, they say, if you're a guy and you're not posting a story on Instagram, you're not going to get any buns. So I decided I got to post Instagram stories.
That's your motivation.
Yeah, which girls are looking.
Right. You're posting Instagram stories because you think maybe that's how you'll get buns.
I'm fishing. I'm throwing the bait out there hoping that they'll DM me.
Right. How many have you got? How many DMs have you gotten from your story?
I've gotten like 3 from dudes so far.
Right.
Shocker.
He struck out. We had a dating expert hook up his profile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he told me the other day that he went on a date, actually. Did you know that?
Nah.
He actually went on a legit date where he didn't get the girl like... completely wasted.
Date.
Yeah, he went on a sober date. They went to a movie.
Good.
Yeah, I'm looking at his Instagram story thing here that Drabby just gave me. I mean, it looks like something out of like Blair Witch Project. Like, you think that's going to attract any chicks?
Probably not.
Yeah. But tell the boys, what'd you do? You went to a movie?
Yeah, went to a movie. Went to see Spider-Man, Spider-Verse.
Right. And then what?
Then got a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
How come you didn't take her to one of your Arlington haunts? How come you didn't take her to Pamplona?
She wasn't trying to drink, so I didn't want to.
How did you know that?
She said.
Did you say, hey, you want to go out for a beer or have a drink?
Yeah, I said, you want to get a beer? And she said, how about coffee?
All right.
So you said, how about I don't have unlimited Starbucks gift cards, but I do have unlimited Pamplona gift cards.
Is that code for she's afraid that he's going to try to take advantage of her if she's drinking? Do you think that's
maybe
what that's code for?
She's not comfortable drinking around him yet.
Is she a drinker?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just not around you.
You're desperate for Chuck Lee to buy a Starbucks next to add to his empire.
But I think it was just it was
feeling
like
out like a first date.
It was
thing.
A Saturday afternoon. It was kind of early.
It was like a day thing.
Yeah.
So maybe she didn't want to get like day drunk.
Right.
What did she have going on later in the evening? Did you ask her?
Yeah, she was going to hang out with her girls.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
So.
Not
she was
you.
She was
and I was
going to
go hang out with my boys.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Broskies.
You were ready for day drinking though. You don't care. You're a sloppy drunk.
Oh yeah. I mean, I had a beer to pregame.
Right.
So I would, you know, feel comfortable
That'll
around
always
her.
Help the brain. Right.
Did that help your personality?
Of course.
Yeah. Do you have a second date?
Got it lined up for this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
How did the first date end? A little hug?
Yeah, hug, goodbye. Actually, you know what? It's the worst thing ever is when you're getting ready to make a move on a girl, like right next to her car, and then somebody pulls up and starts honking and says, excuse me, are you leaving? Can we take your spot?
Yeah. Well, you're not going to make a move in the middle of the day having not had a drink. Like, what would you do? What would your move be?
I mean, a cute kiss, and then maybe...
What's a cute kiss?
Well, I mean, it starts with a peck.
Right. And then you think you're going to jam your tongue down her throat or something?
Obviously, that's exactly what I'm thinking. That's what I'm going for.
Oh. I stick to Listerine.
Hey, you got a second date out of it.
Yeah.
So give us an update. It's this weekend?
Yep.
What's the plan this weekend? Pamplona?
No, the plan this weekend is to actually go for a hike.
A hike.
A hike.
Remember his hike.
Bring your oxygen tank.
I'll say this for him, and I haven't looked today, but generally speaking, he's been better groomed of late. His haircut, I think, has helped out. And he has been shaving
a little
more.
Who noticed that he got a haircut?
JP notices. Dude, he used to show up with his hair just in a million directions.
It's just a little shorter.
Yeah. It's part of the changes I'm making as part of my 26th birthday and my, golden year.
Right. Why? 26 is your golden year?
Yeah, because I was born on the 26th. And so I was telling the boys, when I woke up on the 26th...
I don't understand this person. Right. Fatigue is at an
end. Why?
I don't know. I think God just blessed me.
Yeah, right.
Clearly lying again.
What a dummy.
He's just lying.
What a dummy. All right. Good luck this weekend. Give us an update next week if anything happens.
All right. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL playoffs with the Junkies Blitz. Keep it here on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8 o'clock, John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. Fridays with Feinstein at 8 o'clock. But right now, on a Football Friday, brought to you by the one and only sportsbook at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, we will go around the NFL playoffs with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation.
By the way, here's a tease for later in the show, and I'm not sure when we're going to crowbar it in. But we'll give you an update on AWOD's alleged follow-up date. Not going to bum rush the blitz. So I know we need to talk about the games.
Yeah.
But later we will revisit
to joke
that.
What he considers a hike.
We're going to revisit that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we'll start with the early game kickoff 4:35 on Saturday. The Indianapolis Colts coming off their 21-7 win in the wild card round in Houston. Head to Kansas City to take on a Chiefs team that, of course, is one of the highest scoring teams in the NFL. Third most points in a single NFL season ever. They scored fewer than 30 points only four times. However, kind of the undersold thing on the Colts is, since week 7, they've allowed the fewest points in the NFL.
Yep. They're a totally different team.
Led by Darius Leonard, the rookie who leads the NFL in tackles.
South Carolina State, he's stud, and they've got a great offensive line now, led by Quentin Nelson, who's an all-pro, is a rookie. But who do you trust more? Do you trust Andrew Luck here on the road? This will be the third consecutive road game, I believe, for the Colts. Or, a quarterback in Mahomes who threw 50 touchdowns, played very well at home, but playing in his first playoff game.
Hasn't played as well of late. I think the Chiefs have too much. Also, if you look at Luck's career playoff numbers, not that impressive. I believe he still has more interceptions than touchdowns. Now, I remember he had one game against New England where didn't he have a 4 or 5, maybe even he had a ridiculous amount of interceptions.
He's young.
Now, weather's going to play a factor in this game. 1 to 3 inches of snow could fall during the game in Kansas City. I always kind of worry about dome teams going outdoors and playing in the elements.
Yeah.
So that's something to consider here. I think that gives Kansas City a bit of an advantage.
Feel like
over top of what they already have.
May run out.
You think? Well, I didn't realize the snow forecast.
Yeah. I'll take the Chiefs. Let's go around. Who do you got? Straight up. Chiefs are favored by 5.5.
I know. I would take the Colts on the number, but I think that I would probably expect the Chiefs to win, especially if it's going to be bad weather.
And it's where? It's in Kansas City?
In Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage for them. But I don't know.
Well, it's not an advantage based on history because they've been terrible at home in the playoffs.
Well, they shouldn't be.
I know, but for whatever reason, they're bad in that stadium.
But they're the team that Charlie said can't stop the run and can't stop the pass.
Their defense is horrendous.
Yeah. I'm going to go, and Mahomes hasn't played as well lately. I'm going to go with the hot team. I'm going to take the Colts.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the upset Colts as well. I just doomed your team, JP. You're salty.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Saturday night, 8:15, Cowboys take on the Rams. Cowboys, of course, turn their season around really by pounding the football with Zeke. When he gets over 20 carries, they are 6-1. Pretty simple formula. Take on a Rams team that about 6 weeks ago everybody had as the favorite. Remember they had that 54-51 win over the Chiefs, but weren't the same down the stretch. We're just 3-2. Part of it, Todd Gurley banged up.
Cooper Kupp getting hurt.
I just don't think the Cowboys score enough. I think of the eight teams left in the playoffs, they are the lowest scoring team per game.
They are.
I'll take the Rams.
Yeah.
Go with the fave. They are favored by 7, by the way.
If this is a lower scoring game, I give the Cowboys a real shot. I don't think they can keep up with the Rams if it's a shootout, but you know, that's what you said. The Cowboys need to run the ball and keep Gurley on the bench. So if they can do that, they got a good shot.
The Rams, they scored a bunch of points, right, in their last two games against the Niners and Cardinals, but they're the Niners and Cardinals.
Look at the 2 weeks before that.
Yeah, then they played the Bears and the Eagles, right? It was a little bit different.
Now, Zeke should have a big day. The Rams allow 5.1 yards per carry this season. Terrible.
That's a big number.
The problem is for the Rams, like all signs point to the Rams, but the one thing they do struggle with is the run. And if Zeke could go crazy.
I know. Yeah. He could run for
180.
Yeah.
And not only that, he led all Cowboys in receiving, too, with receptions, with 77.
The only problem is
people sleep on the fact he had almost 80 grabs out of the backfield.
But now they got Cooper.
That's true. But he's still a big part of the passing game.
In like nine years, I think Jason Garrett has 2 playoff wins. 2. And one of them being last week.
Yeah, I think it ends for the Cowboys. I like the Rams at home, especially if Gurley's close to 100% advantage Rams.
I'd probably pick the Rams.
Moving to Sunday's slate, the Chargers coming off their win on the road against the Ravens. By the way, 8-1 on the road this year. Head to New England, take on a Patriots team. Phillip Rivers hasn't had success against Brady. He's never beaten him. He's only beaten the Patriots once, and that was against Matt Castle back in the day. But this Patriots team, not the number one seed this year, still have home field because they were the 2 seed.
Tom Brady is garbage.
They've had problems at wide receiver this year. Of course, Josh Gordon walked away, so they don't have depth at wide receiver. Gronk seems to be a shell of himself.
Oh, he definitely is. You don't have to double-team Gronk anymore.
And the Chargers defense, outside of the fourth quarter, held the Ravens completely in check. People are wondering if Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, and that defense can stifle Tom Brady and the Chargers can get this win on the road.
Man, I would love for Phillip Rivers to finally beat Tom Brady. That would be awesome. Aren't we all kind of pulling for that?
I'm rooting for the Chargers.
I think everyone, unless you're from Boston, everyone in the world is rooting for Phillip Rivers.
I just wonder if Rivers, just based on quarterback rating, last 5 games under 100, I wonder if Rivers has enough. The offense didn't look that great last week. Now, it was against the Ravens, so they should be able to, you know, move the ball and score more against the Patriots defense, which isn't as good. I think they're going to have to get in the 25 to 30 point range, because Brady, he has an unbelievable record in the cold.
True.
Phillip Rivers' terrible record in the cold.
Well, Tom Brady's,
but this might be a
road
different
game. This it could
a,
be.
This is a different Chargers team. You know, maybe they're not tougher than most Charger teams in the past. And then this Pats team, let's be honest. I know they had a great record, and everyone says it's the worst team that they've had.
What was their record?
I think they were 11-5, weren't they?
It seemed like the weakest 11-5 team in recent years.
This is not your typical high-powered Patriots offense.
Right. No.
But maybe we're sleeping on them because everyone's high on the Chargers.
But it is a home game.
They could end up running the football well. Sony Michel started 8 games, and in his 8 games was well over 800 yards.
I mean, he almost had 1,000. He had 931 for the season.
By the way, care to guess Tom Brady's divisional playoff record all time? And I'm guessing the majority of these games have been in Foxborough.
I believe it's 12-2.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's hyping up Rivers, and he did have a great year. But Tom Brady threw for
almost identical numbers.
Almost identical numbers.
Like
same amount of yards, 29-11, 32-12. I mean, very similar.
Yep.
And everyone's saying Brady's over.
And finally, the last game of the weekend, 4:40 kick. The Eagles head to New Orleans to take on the New Orleans Saints. This is a rematch game, although earlier this year it was Carson Wentz under center against the Saints.
And that was
a
boat race.
Destroyed them. I believe it was 48-7.
48-7.
But Nick Foles has been special as Eagles started, of course, 4-0 in the playoffs over the last two seasons. Had the game-winning drive last week.
If they win this game, he's truly touched by God. I don't see it happening. I like the Saints.
I don't see it either.
I like the Saints.
How many times has Drew Brees lost a playoff game at home with the Saints?
Don't know the answer to that. What is it, zero? I have no idea.
Zippy.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see him getting his first loss at home with the Saints.
I think the Foles magic ends. I mean, the Saints are rested at home. They're going to be too much.
The Saints did have that period there. There were a couple games there where they didn't score a lot of points, but I just think they're too good. This could be their year.
By the way, I love what Peyton did. Did you hear what he did? I think it was last week. He wheeled in $225K in cash with a couple of armed guards and said, this is what you guys are playing for.
And the trophy.
And the trophy into the locker room.
Yep, I like it.
Love it.
Wow.
He said, you're playing for $225 in your bank account. So let's get ready to go.
If it's the standard Saints team that shows up and scores 30-plus, I like them. If it's that weird team that only scored 10 against Dallas or 12 against Carolina, I like Philly.
A little birdie told me the drab T-shirt put in a long shot bet. He loves long shots. I need to hear.
I'm actually feeling great about this one.
You are.
Your long shot is what?
Well, I put $10 to win $300 on.
All right.
On Colts, Cowboys, and Chargers all to win.
The nice. Colts.
Oh, parlay.
Yeah, parlay. I don't think it's impossible.
10 to win $300.
Yeah.
So, Colts and Chargers, I think.
It's a money line parlay.
I know they're not favored technically, but I actually like them deep down in my heart. I like the Colts and Chargers.
I like the Colts and Chargers. I think that's very doable. What's the last one?
Cowboys. Now, it's the longest odds, but with great defense and a good running game, they can definitely beat the Rams.
Yep. I'm pulling for it. Pulling for the long shot.
I think you expect the unexpected this weekend.
That's why your count's always felt it, though.
You
nickel and dime your way to zero every time. You always do it.
He's going for the big payday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to sweat. You'll be so bitter, though. What's the first game?
I think it's Colts.
It is.
So if you lose that one, you'll be bitter. Will you come up with another one?
Then you just double down.
Yeah.
You double down. Yeah,
of course. Get back in.
Try to get that money back.
All right, a little bit later in the show, we'll talk to handicapper Brandon Lang. We will get his winners. But coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein, the best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, joins us right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.